Douglas Crook, Wednesday, December 29th, 2010.
Well, if you have your booklet on our topical study in Proverbs, we're ready for page 4, for the subheading there, down the page a little bit on page 4, Dealing with Fools. Proverbs has been contrasting wisdom, or the wise, and the foolish, and now we have some instruction on when we choose to fear the Lord and to trust Him and to apply His wise instruction to our lives, how we are to respond to those who do not. And that's important advice. Just this past week, I was giving some counsel to some young men where some of the things that we're going to look at applies exactly to that situation. So these Proverbs, the wisdom of the Word of God, is very current and up to date and needs to be applied in our day-to-day relationships in order that we honor the Lord with the wisdom that He's given us. But what do we do when we come up against those that are foolish in their choices? Foolish in the context of they don't fear the Lord. They don't make their choices. They don't interact with others based on the instruction of the Word of God. So what do we do? How do we respond? This next block of verses that are found in Proverbs 26 give us some understanding of how we need to understand the fool, and always remember in the context of the book of Proverbs and the Bible in general, a fool can be characterized by one who does not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's one category, and that foolishness leads to eternal condemnation. But we also understand that Christians can also act like fools and make foolish choices when they ignore the loving instruction of their Father. Now, the consequences are different than an unsaved person, but there are consequences for Christians making foolish choices. And so we can run up against fellow believers that are foolish. And again, how do we respond? How do we interact with it? We're going to break this block. It shows in the booklet there, verses 4 through 11 of Proverbs 26. We're going to break it up a little bit because there are blocks that deal with and emphasize different aspects of this. So we'll break it up in a way that we can kind of chew it a little bit and consider how it applies to today, to our day-to-day relationships. So the first block, we'll read verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Well, don't those two verses contradict each other? No, there's not a contradiction, but it is simply emphasizing that there are times when these complement each other, that they don't contradict. But there are times when we should not respond at all to the foolish actions or words of those who do not fear the Lord. Because to do so, and especially the sense is to respond in kind, they insulted us, so we're going to insult them. When we fall into that trap, we ourselves become fools. We act foolishly. And so there are times when fools oppose us, mock us, or simply interact with us in a negative way. We cross paths with fools when we are simply to keep silent. But then the reality is, in the light of Scripture, there are times when we must address and respond to the foolish words, or especially when we're talking about teaching of doctrine or conduct of God's people, there are times when we must respond not only for the good of the fool, but to protect those who may be affected by his foolishness. And so lest he be wise in his own eyes, there are times when we must respond. We can turn over to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, and echoes the same thing. Ecclesiastes 3, 7. It's a little different context, but the principle is the same here as the last couplet here in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verse 7. Jumping into the middle of the thought, it says, there's a time to tear and there's a time to sow. There's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. The difficult thing is to know what time it is. And that's why we must continually come back to this place that we must learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. We must learn to be led of the Spirit, and to do that, to hear the voice of the Spirit to tell you what time it is, you have to take time to get quiet, seek to hear His voice, that you might hear it. But whenever we act and react in our own selves and our own flesh, I'll guarantee you, you're going to mess up what time it is every time. And I know that from experience, as well as the Word of God. We are never to sink to the level of the fool by responding in kind when we are called names, when we are provoked. This is whether you're talking about work, school, siblings, family, church. When someone provokes you, you don't respond to provoke as well. Because if you do, you're acting like a fool. Well, they were a fool first. It doesn't matter. You're accountable for you. I'm accountable for me. So there's a time when you just don't respond. However, when the foolish words and ideas and sometimes the teachings of fools affects more than just me, but if that foolishness is left unchecked and it begins to contaminate others, then that foolishness must be confronted. Again, not just to protect you, but to protect those around the fool, and so that the fool will understand. Because sometimes if it's left unsaid, if it's left unconfronted, they think that they're pretty safe and they're pretty smart. There are times when foolishness must be confronted. These proverbs are not laying down hard and fast rules and regulations on how to deal with a fool. They are simply presenting the reality that there are different circumstances that require different responses. And the only way we're going to know which response is necessary is, number one, we never respond in kind. Never. But there are times when a response is necessary in order to mitigate the damage of the foolishness of the fool. Again, this is only can only be learned and practiced with success when we learn to get quiet in the presence of the Lord. Lord, how do I respond? Search the Scriptures, because sometimes we have specific instructions that tell us which circumstance is which. And then there are other times when we must learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. And if you've not learned to recognize that yet, then again, you're not going to know. You're just going to respond however you feel. And that will always get you in trouble. I've received letters from individuals that just rant and rave against me and call me names, and this is in the context of church and Christians, and they respond to me that way sometimes, and as I read it, I get mad, I get angry, and before I respond, I get before the Lord and say, Lord, how do I answer this fool? And there have been many times when God says, you just don't answer. Because for the most part, it was an attack against me. Nobody else is going to be affected by it. Just let it go. Then there have been other times when I've received letters where it begins to attack not only me personally, but doctrine, and sometimes an assembly, and so on. It begins to, and the Holy Spirit makes it clear, I will do more damage if I do not confront the foolishness and say, this is why this is a foolish statement. And so I have learned that experience, but I have also experienced when I got the two mixed up. And I spoke when I should have kept silent. And I kept silent when I should have spoke. And the consequences, there are consequences. When I simply act and react without taking the time to say, Lord, I need your direction here. I know what I want to do, but what do you want me to do? And so this is what we can learn from these proverbs. You read it at first, it looks like they contradict. But they don't contradict, they simply complement one another, and they make it clear you're going to have to seek the Lord to know which is which. Because both circumstances you will experience, and you will need to know how to respond. Now these next verses, verse 6, and we'll look at the others as we go, but these next verses stress the danger in placing fools, and again, remember the context of fools. I'm not talking about somebody who runs around with a court jester hat on. We're talking about somebody who doesn't fear the Lord. And sometimes a fool is a very educated individual, a very rich individual, good background, all of that. So a fool is simply one who does not fear the Lord and makes choices based on that foolish position. And so these verses are going to emphasize how dangerous it is to put such a person in a place of authority or responsibility. These proverbs are good counsel for businessmen, but they are essential counsel for church administration and for the operation of the local assembly. And when these proverbs have been ignored, and I can point to case after case where this wisdom was not applied, and I can point to you to the ruin in people's lives because these proverbs have proven themselves to be true in those experiences. Verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, or drinks poison is a way that you can interpret that. Well, that seems kind of pointless to cut off your feet and drink poison. And of course, that is the point. Putting a fool, giving him the responsibility of delivering a message, is dangerous and pointless. When one who does not fear the Lord is given the responsibility to pass along important information to someone else, you might as well cut off your feet. Because it won't have its intended purpose when you give that responsibility to someone who doesn't honor the Lord with their life. Again, I've seen many carnal and foolish Christians given responsibilities in local assemblies that have wreaked havoc on those assemblies, ruined the assembly, ruined the pastor's reputation, all because someone was given an important responsibility for whatever reason. Sometimes, well, their family, or sometimes it's because, well, you know, we try to get everybody involved. You know, we want everybody to feel important, so we're going to give them this. None of those make any sense in the light of Scripture. But this wisdom will show itself to be true if we do not heed it. Brother Freestone had told me a story when he was pastoring, and I've got some of my own, and every pastor I'm sure has some. But Brother Freestone, when he was pastoring here, a man tried to force himself into being not only a Sunday school teacher, but to head up the Sunday school department. And he had an educational background, and he was an intelligent person, but there wasn't a spiritual understanding of doctrinal truth. And he insisted, you know, I should have this place. Brother Freestone applied the wisdom of these Proverbs, and he didn't give him the place. And, of course, the man got mad and left. That person would look at Brother Freestone, and others may looked at him, too, at the time. I don't know who all. And say, you know, Brother Freestone, you're just stubborn. You've been called worse, haven't you? But stubborn is probably on top of the list. You're just an old stick in the mud. No. There's a wisdom that we find in Scripture. And Scripture says you don't give the responsibility of delivering the important message of the gospel to someone who doesn't honor the Lord with their life by being grounded in truth and by practicing truth. And if you ignore that, you might as well cut off your feet. You're not going to get it delivered. The seventh verse of Proverbs 26, similar statement, like the legs of the lame that hang limp, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Now, this is not politically incorrect. I'm sure those who do not have the use of their limbs would love to have the use of their limbs. And if they can't use them, the reality is this. Those limbs are useless to them. They're not going to fulfill their intended purpose, and that is to be able to get you from one place to another. And the same is true when you put a proverb, when you put a truth in the mouth of a fool. Have you ever heard someone, and I don't want to see any hands, and please don't shout out any names, but I'm going to at least make you think in your head. Have you ever heard a testimony or a sermon or a lesson about some spiritual truth that someone was talking about, and you knew good and well that they didn't apply that spiritual truth to their own life? They were talking about it as if they knew about it, but you know good and well they didn't know anything about it. And their testimony and their sermon and their lesson was useless in their mouth because they were a fool in practice. Anybody heard sermons like that or testimonies? You know, you just want to, you know, you're not moved by it. Well, not in a good way anyway. It's, you know, I wish you really understood what you were saying. But there's a proverb in the fool of a mouth. In the mouth of the fool, rather. And it's useless. In Acts 20, we see that God didn't choose a fool for the most important message he had to deliver to the human race. In Acts 20, we see that when you want to deliver a message, you need to choose one who demonstrates a heart that is surrendered to the heart of God. And when God chose the Apostle Paul for the message of the gospel, he chose a faithful messenger, not a fool. In verse 17 of Acts 20, reading through 21, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, the Apostle Paul did, and called for the elders of the church. And when he had come, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you. There, his testimony is there. They know how he lived. They know how he conducted himself in every day-to-day business, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jump down to verses 26 and 27, same chapter. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. The Lord chose the right messenger. And from this proverb, we can learn several things. First of all, those that are in church leadership, you don't cave in to partiality, bigotry, favoritism. The list goes on and on. You don't cave in to pressure. Put this one in this place because, you know, they got the most votes or whatever, the most popular. It must be based on, do they have a testimony of fearing God? And are they grounded in truth? And is their life transformed by truth? And it doesn't mean that people are perfect that are in places of leadership, but it does mean that when they fall short, they acknowledge that failing and they apply the truth and return to a path of righteousness. When that is the case, that's when they are to be accepted in place of responsibility. For those that aren't in the places of making those choices, in other words, all of us, you need to ask yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, am I that kind of a messenger? Because every child of God, everyone here tonight, you are called to be a messenger of a very important message. Every last one of you. And so allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart and ask yourself, is it like having a proverb in the mouth of a fool when I speak the gospel? Or am I a faithful messenger because I've surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? We can learn from this proverb. Verse 8 and 9 of Proverbs 26. Let one who binds a stone in a sling, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. These two proverbs, very similar to the one we just read, but these two proverbs stress the not only the uselessness of honoring a fool, but the danger of honoring a fool and giving him a place of recognition. And always remember the context of who a fool is. It's one who does not make their choices based on the instruction of the Word of God. The first seems to be a picture of tying a stone in a sling rather than simply placing it, because when you say, well, aren't you supposed to put a stone in a sling? Yes, you're supposed to place it in the sling, but you're not supposed to tie it to the pocket. You tie it to the pocket, haven't you pretty well annulled the purpose of the sling? The same thing is true with the message of the gospel. When you put the message of the gospel in the mouth of a fool, you've kind of missed the point and the purpose. We are to be examples of the gospel that we teach and preach. God is not impressed by those who can simply parrot sound doctrine. Well, this is what Brother Doug preaches. Well, this is what our church believes. Well, this is what my family has always believed. Who cares? What does the Bible teach? And how do we know it's real? Because it's changed my life. So I'm the messenger, and I'm to be the example as well. But when that's not the case, it's like tying in the pocket of a sling the rock. It's kind of pointless. Plus, it's a little bit dangerous because, you know, when a person who knows how to use a sling, there's a certain, when you just place it in the pocket, there's a certain timing, and I have no idea what it is. I would probably hit myself in the head with the sling. But those who know how to use it, you let it go at just the right time, and it releases at the right time because you've placed it properly. But if you've tied that in the pocket and you're swinging it around, it could come out any time and hit anybody. That's why it's dangerous to have to give honor to a fool. Now, the second, there are actually several ways you could translate it that would still get the point across. I'm not going to go into all the possible translations, but I believe the one that would get us the most quickly to understand the emphasis. And that is that to put a message, to put sound doctrine in the mouth of a fool is as dangerous as giving a drunk a thorn bush who waves it around. He's going to hurt himself and whoever gets in his way. It's not a good thing. It's dangerous. And then once again, I've heard some testimonies and I've heard some sermons over the years that could be described as a drunk man swinging a thorn bush. You just, whoa, what? You just wish he'd stop. Or sometimes she. You just, you're going to hurt somebody with that foolishness. And so it's better not to give them the place. I'm sometimes criticized about how controlling. I have often been called a control freak. And to a certain point, I can't deny that there is a certain amount of control that I do exercise, and I don't apologize, because somebody has to do it, or we're going to have a bunch of drunks swinging thorn bushes. And nobody wants that. So these Proverbs, they have some real positive impact in our life if we will heed them. Verse 10, Proverbs 26. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Now this is simply reminding us that a fool that causes all that damage, he is ultimately accountable to his creator. And that's whether we're talking about the unsaved or the carnal Christian. There is an accountability. And those who remain a fool in the light of the generous offers of the wisdom of God that we've seen already in the book of Proverbs and throughout the scripture, those who continue in their foolishness do so because they choose to. The unregenerate remain in that lost condition because they have chosen to reject the offer of grace. Carnal Christians that continue in their carnality, they continue in their carnality, especially as a child of God, because they've chosen to do so. And so they're going to be accountable for those choices of being a fool. Verse 11. A dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Not a pretty picture, but an accurate one. A fool never learns simply by experience. And, you know, and sometimes I have to remind myself of this because I shake my head. And why don't you learn? Because the dog always returns to his vomit. They continue to suffer because they continue in the same old foolish choices, and they don't learn simply by experience. Peter cites this proverb in 2 Peter, if you want to turn there. He cites this proverb to describe unregenerate, unsaved teachers that are in Christendom. They're talking about the gospel, they're talking about Jesus, but they're not saved. They're false teachers. They talk about Jesus, but they don't accurately present the gospel of Jesus. A lot of that going on in our day, isn't there? And so Peter cites this proverb. We'll read beginning in verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 2. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, and they say that the Bible is not up to date. Have you seen some of the things that are happening in churches today? They speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Some of these so-called Christian artists that young people listen to, do you see how they're dressed? They are dressed just like their vile counterparts in the world. And through the lust of the flesh, listen to these Christian words. No, it doesn't hold water. Through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they kind of clean themselves up a little bit, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. These professed teachers of the gospel that have foolishly rejected saving faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone, they've rejected that. And yet they continue to pretend to know about God and know about Jesus and know about doing right. They speak the wisdom of the gospel, but it's like the proverb in the mouth of a fool. Sooner or later, they're going to manifest their true nature, and they're going to return to their putrid ways of the flesh. So we need to be aware of that in Christendom today. I think I'll stop there. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.